Hi, everybody. It's Psychic Dougal Frazier. I'm the queer guy with the third eye. My show is a call-in advice show that blends New Age practice with grounded advice. Call me with questions about love, relationships, career, abundance. No topic is off limits. From gurus to gossip, meditation to martinis. It's all happening right now.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. It's Psychic Dougal Frazier. So excited, especially if you're listening in Seattle, because I'm flying to see you tomorrow.
Woo-hoo!
And I'm going to miss you, Benny. What's up with that?
I know. It's a coming and going party.
You're working for other people.
It happens. You didn't tell me ahead of time.
I know. Ahead of time, I've been talking about it for weeks.
Your people did not call my people.
Okay, so guys, touchy subject, and I want to start with this, and I'm really hoping this person we're about to talk about isn't listening, but I'm pretty sure they aren't. So we had family visiting, and that person shall remain nameless. And I feel like everybody has this person in their family. We've all got someone who's a little bit of a bigot, a little bit of a racist.
Uh-oh.
You know, like, for example, my 95-year-old grandmother, like, I kind of let her get away with stuff. I mean, the poor woman's in a wig. She's in full drag. Some comment slide.
She'd be raiding your closet again?
Exactly.
Swear to God, dude.
Some comment slide, and sometimes I'm like, oh, she's 95. I mean, how often can I confront her? Or, you know, like, I know my dad's friends. I drive them crazy whenever I'm around them because I'm always like, you can't say that. That's like I'm constantly jumping
in. Not appropriate.
So here's the question. I feel like, don't you agree that we all have that person, a friend or a family member, who makes some comments that they think are kind of in a gray area and I think are offensive? So it started getting to the point where I felt like all weekend long, I was like, you can't say that. You can't say that.
You were pretty good for the most part. I feel like you were... You know, you want to not correct the person, but, like, express that you don't agree with them without starting a fight. But it can become awkward after a while.
But isn't that... So here's what I was thinking. I had posted this on Facebook to get some people's feedback. And Louisa made this post that I absolutely loved. And she thought silence equals death, meaning if I don't say anything, it's like I'm holding, you know, the world back from, like, moving forward and I'm not teaching them. But I kind of feel like in my life, you know, as a gay person, you know, I feel like I'm constantly defending and, like, standing up for people's rights. But there comes this point in time where it's like, do I have to do it every single time? And it feels like this battle, like this particular family member. And this is something I find interesting. She's Jewish.
Right. Well,
so technically, she, too, is, you know, kind of...
A minority.
This
is an interesting
right.
thing that you pointed out. I feel like since we've been together, like, you know, your family is WASPy, would you say that?
I mean, to the 10th
wow.
degree.
So from your perspective, it really was an interesting thing, like, to be a minority and then see a minority be kind of bigoted, it
right.
seems kind of like
why
a
does that happen?
Right,
yeah.
Like, why would you do that?
You'd think that if you know, for it's the same thing with, like, as a gay person, like, I feel like I try to be as open to everything, no matter how different it is, because I know what it's like to be judged based on my lifestyle and who I am as a being.
Right.
So I always find it interesting when other minorities are kind of bigoted. And the question is, I'm curious for listeners, do you always confront people in a social setting? Like, if someone says something that you think is racist or bigoted, do you say something in the moment? Do you tell them that it's wrong? Do you ever ignore it? Because when I ignore it, I start to feel really guilty. Like, I feel like I'm not doing my job. Like, it's somehow my duty to say, like, you can't talk that way. Like, that's kind of obnoxious. And it was such a, can I say what it was? Like, is that weird?
Go for it.
Okay, so we were talking about a friend of hers that lived in the Caribbean. And I think we said something like, oh, do they like it there? Is it a nice neighborhood? And her response was, it's a nice neighborhood, but there are a lot of black people. Which I thought was really offensive. Like, so basically,
yeah,
you're saying
it
it's not a nice neighborhood because of certain members. And I was shocked. Like, my jaw dropped on the table, and the first thing I do is I panic, and I start looking around the restaurant, and I'm like, who heard that? Who thinks that I said it? And I completely panicked, and I said, you can't say that. And it kind of just went over her head, like it didn't mean anything. And then the next morning, we were talking about her daughter getting bullied at school, and she goes to a private school with all the same people. And then one of her comments was, you know, at this school, I can say something because it's the same people. But if she were at another school and it was like with a black person, I couldn't say anything. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You can't say that. And the other thing is, like, I grew up in a house where if my mother, and this is what I adore about my mother, if you said something like that in our house when we were growing up, she would ask you to leave. No joke.
Right.
She would say at a dinner party, like, you cannot speak that way in my home. You can do whatever you want. You can get out of here. But then there's that, what's it called, shalom bias, where you're just trying
to... Peace in the
peace
home.
Peace in the home. So I'm trying to, like... make peace in the home because we're different and I want to confront, but I want to stand up for myself. And I have to be honest, like I left the weekend feeling like I didn't do enough, like I should have been more verbal, but it kind of becomes a battle. Like, yes, I said you can't say that, but I didn't stop and say, this is why it offends me. This is why I think it's wrong. And I didn't open up the dialogue. Like, I would think as a Jewish person, you would have more sympathy and compassion for other cultures because you've been persecuted and all that good stuff.
Well, if you kind of come out and confront someone as saying, like, I think you're being bigoted, nobody wants that label. Nobody wants to sound
well,
like
so
that.
Well, so what's the word you would use? So I agree with that. No one wants that label. So do you think you could say, I think you're being...
unfair.
Unfair. Silly.
Well, the interesting thing also is, you know, this is like a broad topic of like stereotypes. And the flip side of being like bigoted is that a lot of times there are general stereotypes that are kind of true. Like, as, you know, gay people, like, you know, I like, I don't know, watching the E Channel, and I don't like watching
that,
sports, and
that's
I
a gay stereotype.
Whatever, you know, there are several stereotypes, but
to me, it's more about I don't like that moment where I protect the person who is making the incorrect comment. It's like out of social grace. Instead of, I don't want to make them uncomfortable when they're making this kind of blanket statement, you know, against people. I don't like that. And I wish that I had stood up for myself and not cared about what their reaction would be. It's one thing. And even with my 95-year-old grandmother, like, why do I use that to justify it? Age shouldn't be a justification for it. Because if it was a 5-year-old, I would still say something.
The generational thing, I think, makes more sense. Like, my parents are, you know, Holocaust survivors.
Yeah.
And so when I came out to them, and they had a really big problem with it, like, it somehow made more sense because they were persecuted for just being who they are, and so they had this fearful, like, they were coming from this fearful place of, I don't want you to be, I don't want you to go through that, I don't want you to have a tough life, so why don't you just keep it all a secret?
See, am I crazy? Are my meds off schedule? Because I see it from a different perspective. I see it as, if someone was a Holocaust survivor or something like that, I would think you were so happy to have your freedom, that's what we fought for, so you could be, do, say, whatever you want to be, versus... Because in your community, I mean, you have to stick with the same people, you know, marry. They want you to marry a Jewish person, and then you got the psychic goy, which obviously changed everything.
Well, I'm a rebel, I guess.
I thought it was curious. And then even when I posted it on Facebook, I really thought people's responses were interesting. They immediately thought that I was saying that I wasn't talking, you know, that it was like maybe like a gay slur or something like that. It had nothing to do with me, but I just thought it was interesting within the family dynamic. How do you keep peace but still confront someone, especially when they're in your space? I don't know if I would have been as upset about it if I were in their home, because it feels like I can't really... I still would have said something. I always say something. But how far does it go? You know, do you really confront them? Because I don't want to make it an argument. So I'm kind of curious of your thoughts. You can call in. Our number is 1-800-930-2819, 1-800-930-2819, or you can always go to transformationtalkradio.com, click instant feedback. But I think you know what I mean. I think everybody has that person, and... like, my family's come a really long way. You know, having David in our family, I think, has taught them, you know, to be a little bit more respectful. And my dad comes from a generation where it was all the same people, same community, same neighborhood. And I don't think he expected, you know, to have a gay son. And we had a rabbi at our wedding, and we made it festive.
Festivus for the rest of us.
Exactly. But it's difficult. And I just feel like, you know, we all have that moment. We all have that choice in our life where you can say something and make a difference. And I know, like, at our wedding, so many people from my dad's generation came up to us and said, you know, in the beginning, I was completely confused and I didn't understand. But even just from this experience, I get it now. And I think that's the difficult part with our society. We tend to congregate in the same communities, in the same neighborhood. And I don't like that. I mean, I think from living in New York, you know, our building was always multicultural and multifaceted. You know, there was the $5 million apartment and there was the one bedroom apartment and everyone's mixed together. And I'm used to that. And it bothers me when I hear people making comments like that. I just feel like maybe I live in a world that... let's take Chaz Bono, for example. Everyone's freaking out about him on Dancing with the Stars because it's different. And this is, you know, I think if you're a transgendered person, this is kind of the new wave of it becoming more public. He was amazing. If you saw it, I mean, he did such a good job.
Yeah.
He clearly practiced, and I thought he did well, and I thought he seemed really likable, too.
They talked about it incessantly. I was kind of hoping, I guess you can't not bring that up. I was kind of hoping they would just kind of roll with it and let the show go on without making it like a major thing, but that was pretty much how he was introduced.
Yeah, you were saying that with people who were concerned about like not wanting to talk about it with their kids, that they weren't necessarily going to bring that up, but it was pretty much
it was brought up right off the bat. Yeah, I figured that it was just he was coming on. I kind of hoped that he was just coming on there to dance, and they saved him for the end, which was so obvious.
Of course.
I mean, I literally was like, I'm staying up. I totally fell for it, like hook, line, and sinker. I really wanted to watch it. But I thought he did a really good job. And we're going to be talking all about that in the last segment. Actually, my friend Heather's going to join us to do a whole TV thing at the end of the show. So guys, again, if you're listening in Seattle, I know I'm rambling. It's an exciting first segment. But I am going to be doing a book signing and a talk at the East West Bookshop on Friday night. It's $10 for an hour and a half. Cheaper than a movie. Possibly more exciting. I don't know. So come join me. I'd love to meet you. You can go to my website, dougalfraser.com, click on the appearances page and purchase your tickets. Or you can just show up that night, which gives me anxiety. I'd rather know you were coming. Do it for me.
You can set a place.
Exactly. I'm also doing a workshop on Sunday. If you want to get information, go to eastwestbookshop.com or my website. And guys, I'm going to be doing readings all this hour, so call me at 1-800-930-2819. Again, our number is 1-800-930-2819. I'm an equal opportunity person. We're talking race. We're talking psychic readings. I'm Dougal Fraser. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm astrologer Stephanie Jones, and this is your Astro Update for September. The sun is in Virgo, the sign of the harvest, and I love it when the sun's in Virgo. I can finally get something done. Call me at 323-369-8221 or visit my website at stephanie-jones.com for further updates and see where the sun in Virgo brings the gifts of the harvest to you in your birth chart. That's 323-369-8221.
I was dealing with anxiety and depression, and nothing seemed to help me. Then I started to work with Dr. Schaub's Breakthrough Program. In just a few sessions, he helped me to finally understand and heal the deeper root cause of my challenges. As a result, I feel more centered and confident than ever before. And now I have the tools which will continue to support me throughout my life's journey. Dr. Schaub's approach has changed my life.
Hello, I'm Dr. Friedman Schaub, and I work with people across the globe to help them break through anxiety and depression and access their true potential. If you are ready to bring back confidence, joy, and meaning in your life, call us to schedule a free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit our website at cellularwisdom.com. That's cellularwisdom.com.
What if your best friend could take a peek into the future? Psychic, author, and cosmic coach Dougal Fraser is that friend. He's the queer guy with a third eye. From gossip to gurus, meditation to martinis, the Dougal Fraser Show is a call-in advice show that provides insights and information on creating your best life. Every Tuesday at 10, he'll take calls and talk about love, money, sex, pop culture, and give free advice. No topic is off limits. It's the Dougal Fraser Show.
Hi guys, it's me, Psychic Dougal Fraser, and joining me is Colette Baron-Reed. Colette, do you want to tell them the news?
You bet I do. Next April, I've asked Dougal and psychic Dr. Carmen Hara to host a Caribbean cruise with me.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. You guys, on April 21st, 2012, we will set sail from Fort Lauderdale, Florida on a 7-night journey through the Western Caribbean. Where are we going, Colette?
We're going to all the best beaches, Princess Keys in the Bahamas, Curacao, Aruba. And when you're not enjoying the sun, there'll be readings, lectures and classes taught by all of us.
Guys, you really don't want to miss out on this opportunity. So if you want to get more information about our Caribbean cruise, Psychics on the Sea, go to ColetteBaronReed.com or DougalFraser.com. Click on our appearances or events page and you can find out how to join. Colette, I will see you on the Lido deck.
You betcha.
Hey, guys, it's Psychic Dougal Fraser. I'm laughing over that cruise commercial. Colette, I'll see you on the Lido deck. I think possibly in a past life, I was a really cheesy game show host. And I think it comes really...
I still want to win things then on your show. That'd be great.
And don't forget, you can register for that cruise this month for only $100. Can you believe? So I think if you make like a payment of like $150 a month, by the time the cruise happens, it's paid for. Guys, so I'm taking calls 1-800-930-2819, 1-800-930-2819. And if you're at work, I know you can't call because your boss will see. You can go to transformationtalkradio.com, click the instant feedback button, and I may read your question on the air. Very exciting. And I'll do it in my cheesy game show voice. So we are going to go straight to a caller. Chakras are aligned. We are ready to talk to Jeff, I believe. Hey, Jeff, you're on the air.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on in your life?
I guess my question boils down to a kind of a trying to figure myself out kind of question.
Mm-hmm.
Main thing right now, I guess, is one of the main things is my career.
Yeah.
I have a regular day job, but I'm also an artist, and I've done art in all kinds of different forms, and I'm really trying to figure out what direction to go into. And I keep dreaming about going back to my old job doing product design, but I don't know if that's right for me. It's been kind of a difficult thing for me to figure out.
Well, the interesting thing is, how do I say this? So your energy tends to lean towards worrying. I think that's kind of a natural energy for you. You have a really soft rose color around you, and pink or rose is the color of perfection and unconditional love. So if I see this color around an artist, it's really hard for them to recognize when they've done a good job. It's like they want to keep changing it, and that's part of the reason they have a hard time promoting their work. So I could see why designing something for someone else would be easier for you because it kind of removes that part. When it's purely your vision, you do kind of freak out. The second thing is, and this is going to sound like a lot of psychic mumbo jumbo, but I do think you've had past lives before of poverty because you do have poverty consciousness in your subconscious mind. And I really want you to watch that. In my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, but this lifetime, the universe has provided for you pretty much, you know, it hasn't been a lifetime of riches, but you've always been provided for, correct?
Yes, always.
Okay. So that's the first thing. I want you to write on an index card, I have always been provided for and will continue, and that will continue throughout my life. I need that everywhere because we need to kind of reprogram your mind to realize that this time around, this part of the journey, it's not about learning how to handle money. Money's going to come to you. I think if we can release the anxiety connected to money, you will feel a little bit more connected to working on your creative work. I have to agree with you, though. I do think it would be a good idea to go back to product design. In my opinion, in the year 2012, there are two forms of income. So I feel like going to product design is one foot in the right direction, and it also eases your anxiety. I don't want to completely throw you into full-time artist because I feel like you'll totally have a freak out and a meltdown. So I feel like if we do one foot in there and then you can continue doing the artwork on a part-time basis, that would be really good. I know I'm talking a mile a minute, but April of next year is a big month for you with your own personal work. Something happens in April where you get invited to do something creatively that's very public. You're not getting paid for it, but it's like a public campaign. I had a friend, Sloan, who's an artist and an author, and when I lived in New York, she had to do this thing for the New York subway system, and she didn't get paid for it, but it was everywhere. Like, it was in every subway, every stop, and so everyone saw her name. It would be that kind of a thing where you're invited to do something, and it gets a lot of press and a lot of attention, and it's really, really good and help kind of kickstarts or jumpstarts the career. So, in answer to your question, we want to work on the affirmation of, I'm going to be provided for financially so we can get rid of your worry. You're going to tape that all over your home. And then I agree with you. I think stepping back into product design would be a good way for you to go right now because it will balance both parts of your energy. Am I rambling? Am I a crazy person?
No. I'm getting a lot out of this. One thing I like to ask about the product design is, there's one company I've been dealing with sort of for like a year, and it just isn't coming together. But my prior employer, who I left for a couple of kind of uncomfortable reasons.
Yeah, I don't like that person. That wasn't working.
Yeah, that's the one I was considering getting back in touch with. So I'm not quite sure if I should go keep pursuing the new one or go back in touch with the old one.
Okay, this is weird. So you start talking about product design, and then I keep seeing things with relationships. Why do they want me to change gears? Why would you talk about that and suddenly I start seeing stuff with relationships? How does a relationship fit into this scenario?
Well, are we talking about relationship with my ex-boss or?
It feels like a romantic relationship.
Well, I had a 7-year relationship end last December.
Okay.
And I've just had a couple of dates since then. People are kind of nice. And then there is one person I can't really be with right now who I do feel really strongly for.
Okay. But why would that come up while we're talking about work? Because you start talking about work and the past job, and they start talking about relationships. I don't know why that is.
Well, I think I have some real strong connection also to my ex-boss because I keep dreaming about working with her.
Okay.
Even though I'm not quite sure about certain aspects of her personality.
Right.
But we do have some kind of a strong bond. I am aware of that in some way.
Okay, maybe I'm interpreting the relationship thing differently, and it's not romantic. There's just kind of a connection there. Because you talk about it, and it seems worth it. What are the chances of sitting down with that old boss and just being really direct and being like, this is what I want, this is the life that I want to create, and having like a really, like, no attachment to it, but a real heart-to-heart of, this is what I'm looking for, this is what I need, David, my clock back up, thank you. Just really setting your intention of what you want. The thing that concerns me a little bit about you, Jeff, and I mean this with respect, is I don't feel clear in what you're trying to create in your life.
I don't know either.
Yeah, and if you're not clear in what you want to create, the universe isn't. So we need to be very clear on paper. Like, we're starting with basics. I know I'm going to be provided for. I know financially I'm going to be okay. But now I need to outline the dream of my life. So first step is, I don't think you're ready to do the artwork on your own full time. So I'd go back to this old boss, sit down, tell her the goal of the next year, what you're trying to create, that you want to ease your anxiety. You see it from kind of a part-time basis. And can we establish a relationship that's harmonious? And my prediction is that's going to work out well.
Well, that sounds good.
Okay?
That sounds great.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, and I wish you luck with everything.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
You're welcome. Take care. That's always interesting. It's kind of funny because people ask a question and then something else will pop up and I'm trying to listen, but it's totally random. And I see this a lot with artists. You know, I talked about pink, and pink light is the color of perfection and unconditional love. And you've heard me say this before, and people who have that energy around them, they exude that unconditional love to everybody, but they're super critical of their own work. And I've even noticed with myself, like if I'm writing a blog or even when my book came out, like it never felt done to me. It never felt good enough. Even with the show, like I rarely listen to it, although I did listen to the Melissa clips and I did think they were good.
I would have too. That was a great interview.
It was really good.
It was super good.
But it takes me a while to not, like, I hear my own voice and I'm like, oh my God, this is lunatic and all that stuff. So anyway, let's get rid of my voice and we will go to Amy in Albany looking for us. Yes, Amy, this is Dougal. Hey, Amy, I'm actually coming to Albany next week. How exciting.
Really?
Yeah, when? A friend of mine is getting married. I'm not going to be working, but a friend of mine is getting married right outside of Albany.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Have fun at the wedding.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So what's going on in your life, Amy?
Speaking of weddings, I would like one soon.
I'm not a genie.
Hang on. I'm looking for wedding bells. Give me a minute.
So what's going on? You've got some relationship stuff going on?
I've never been married, and I just seem to be meeting people, mm-hmm. And then it fizzles, and then meet somebody else, and then it fizzles, and it just...
Well, here's the thing.
It's not stable.
Well, first things first is your first statement was, I've never been married, which means this is something that's floating around in your mind a lot. And I kind of want to change that thought. People have heard me say incessantly, energy follows thought and thought directs energy. So what you're doing right now is you're walking around going, I'm not married, I'm not married, I'm not married. And what you've created is you're not married. The other thing is when marriage is such a huge thing in your brain, I think when you're meeting people, that can be like a lot of pressure. So what I want you to do is I really want you to focus more on, I'm looking for connection. And connection is delivered in a variety of ways. Connection can be a coffee date that's 15 minutes and you guys really connect and you learn something and it's an intense thing. Connection can be 3 weeks, 3 months, or 30 years. But a lot of times our brain becomes so frantic with what they're trying to create, we have to whittle it down to a simple energy and something that we can focus on. The second thing that I want to talk about right now is, in my opinion, I think you need to work harder on selling yourself. When I start focusing on your energy, you exude on the outside someone who's really confident, but in there, I feel a lot of self-doubt. And you can be really funny, you can be the life of the party, but sometimes I think you kind of exhaust yourself with that. So what the universe is asking you to do is balance your energy a little bit more. You don't always have to be on, because when you're on, your energy is so high and you're giving out so much intensity, then you kind of crash and you get tired, and that reads as kind of a disconnect. So what I'd like you to do is be a little bit more balanced. You are a funny person, yes, but you can also be serious. And it's like, I need one foot in both worlds. I think when you can find that balance and that harmony, that's going to be easier for you to attract someone to you. Here's the exciting part. I'm not just telling you this to make you feel good. I do think in the seventh month of next year, which is July, correct? Yes. July of next year, I see a relationship coming up with someone who I believe works in finance. I keep seeing they're like the opposite of me. Very good with numbers. I'm terrible with numbers.
Do you know how we meet, or is it too far away?
Amy, the pressure you are causing.
Wow.
Right? Now.
Right?
Let me give them their phone number. Okay, so here's the thing. You meet in a very organic setting. What that means is it's a social setting, mutual friends. It's not a blind date. It's not like a website or a dating website or something like that. It feels very organic. And there's something about next year where you really come into your own. How old are you, may I ask?
Cool.
How old are you, Amy?
I'm excited for 2012.
Amy, do you see? I need you to listen to me. How old are you?
I'm 37. I felt so great. This is related. Last Sunday, an 18-year-old asked me out.
Okay.
I couldn't believe it. I said, are you kidding me? You know how old I am? And he said, 20. I'm like, get out of town.
Hot for teacher.
Well, be careful with that, because I don't think that's going to work out.
No. Stay away from me. That's why I'm like, do you know how old I am? Yes.
All right, Amy. I love you. I definitely see a relationship next year for you. Good luck. I appreciate the call, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Amy's cute. Did you hear that New York accent? I'm so excited
to
go back to New
York.
Every time someone UL calls, I get all Long Island. So, guys, I'm Dougal Frazier. This is the Dougal Frazier Show. We're taking your calls at 1-800-930-2819, 1-800-930-2819. We're going to take a quick break. I'll be right back.
You would not believe your eyes if 10 million
Hi, guys. It's me, Psychic Dougal Frazier, and joining me is Colette Baron-Reed. Colette, do you want to tell them the news?
You bet I do. Next April, I've asked Dougal and psychic Dr. Carmen Hara to host a Caribbean cruise with me.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. You guys, on April 21st, 2012, we will set sail from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on a 7-night journey through the Western Caribbean. Where are we going, Colette?
We're going to all the best beaches, Princess Keys in the Bahamas, Curacao, Aruba, and when you're not enjoying the sun, there'll be readings, lectures, and classes taught by all of us.
Guys, you really don't want to miss out on this opportunity, so if you want to get more information about our Caribbean cruise, Psychics on the Sea, go to ColetteBaronReed.com or DougalFraser.com. Click on our appearances or events page, and you can find out how to join. Colette, I will see you on the Lido deck.
You betcha.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Have you asked your dentist about periodontal disease? 3 out of 4 adults in Seattle unknowingly suffer from this painless but progressive infection caused by bacterial plaque. If not carefully treated, these bacteria can infect your gums, deteriorating the tissue and causing tooth loss. At Pacific Northwest Periodontics and Implant Dentistry, we offer a different kind of patient experience, providing the highest level of perio care within a relaxing environment. After a thorough examination, our doctors will take the time to understand your needs. address your concerns, and review a variety of treatment options with you. Our goal is to work with you to ensure the integrity of your dental health. Don't allow periodontal disease to take your teeth. Call Pacific Northwest Periodontics at 206-575-1086 to schedule an appointment. Or to learn more about periodontics, visit us online at pnwperio.com.
Hi, I'm astrologer Stephanie Jones, and this is your Astro Update for September. The sun is in Virgo, the sign of the harvest, and I love it when the sun's in Virgo. I can finally get something done. Call me at 323-369-8221 or visit my website at stephanie-jones.com for further updates and see where the sun in Virgo brings the gifts of the harvest to you in your birth chart. That's 323-369-8221.
Hey everybody, it's Psychic Zugel Fraser. Good music this morning. So much to talk about in segment four. We're going to do like a whole TV thing because I was pretty impressed by the Emmys, Dancing with the Stars. There was so much TV happening this week. I don't know what to do with myself and I'm traveling and I feel like my DVR feels like it needs to be paid better because it really has a lot to do. Charlie Sheen at the Emmys. Yeah. That was interesting.
I know, right? He was pretty sober.
I think very sober, but I kind of thought it was interesting that he didn't say, hey, I'm sober. I would have been a little bit more impressed if he just got up there and been like, I really screwed up. And I realized, you know, he was making kind of like a generous statement and yeah. But I don't know. I think it would have been cool if he had kind of owned it and just said, I made a mistake. This is what I was doing. But it seemed like a little bit of a publicity.
I don't feel like he meant it.
Right? You don't think he meant it?
No, I really don't. Like, just, you know how you're supposed to know about TV and the pausing and all that? I mean, he's in front of all these people. Just the way he was looking.
I agree.
Like, I sense, like, you didn't really mean it, dude. You're still winning or whatever you want to, like.
Well, did you hear his contract that they negotiated? $100 million for the syndication
deal? Really, dude? Seriously.
I think he got a check for $25 million.
What, for a new show?
No. This is just for the reruns. Yeah. Now that he's no longer working for them, because that show is such a huge hit.
He knows that.
He's going to end up walking away with $125 million. What does this teach our youth about drugs? This is a problem. You know, he should not be rewarded for that.
Another story for another show.
Exactly. Guys, so if you have a question, you can go to TransformationTalkRadio.com and click instant feedback, but I believe we are going to go to a call as well. Who do we have, Benny?
It'll be Lynn from Seattle.
Hey, Lynn, you're on the air.
Hi, Google. My question is, I've been on a lot of dates, and, you know, I would say more times than not, I'm not really feeling the right connection.
Yeah.
So my question is, and to me, it has to resonate in my heart. Mm. So my question is, do you see a relationship coming up for me, and will it be the right connection?
Well, here's the deal. Immediately when you start talking about relationships, I still get the sense of a broken heart. So that leads me to believe that the last relationship is still kind of lingering in you. And this may be like a subconscious thing, and we just haven't quite cleaned the slate yet. But when did the last relationship end?
Oh, well, I was married for 23 years. I'm so done, I can't even tell you how done I am.
That makes a little bit. And when did you guys get a divorce?
3 years ago.
Okay, so I think you're about on par then with where you need to be. I mean, 23 years is a really long time to be in a contract, to be in a partnership with someone. And so now you've been on this journey of kind of self-discovery. So the first thing that I want you to do is I want you to give yourself the permission to be more selective. Because when you talk about, you know, not having a connection and going on dates, I feel like you almost feel like badly about it or something like that. But I'm proud of you. I want you to be selective. The second thing that I want you to do is, now that it feels like you're in this space of I want to attract in a new relationship, I'd like you to write down the 10 reasons, you know, like the top 10 reasons that your marriage didn't work. And then I'd like you to kind of rewrite those in a positive form, how you're going to change that contract. You're going to change that energy with a new person and attract them in. I think when mentally, emotionally, you find alignment with that energy, that's going to make it a little bit easier for you to bring someone in. Admittedly, this year, I'm not seeing a ton of activity with love. I still feel like we have like one final layer, and I know it's kind of like an eye roll, but one final layer of letting go of that marriage and moving on to the next thing. And I don't think it's, don't hate me, but I don't think it's until fall of next year that I see a relationship popping up. And here's the funny part. I see it in, they show me this image that I associate as being a house of worship. And when I say a house of worship, that could be anything from a church, a synagogue, a meditation class, but you are in a spiritual environment. They're also showing me my sister in my head. My sister met her husband at a meditation class. So I want you to go to things that are of like-minded consciousness, to be with other people. I would join a group or something like that, but I see you meeting someone in some kind of spiritual slash educational environment, and that's not until fall of next year. So ultimately, what we're going to remember while you're dating right now is it's a free meal, it's an experience, and you're trying to figure out what it is that you want to create for yourself, but I want you to give yourself permission to be selective, okay?
Yeah, well, I am selective. I'll give you that.
That's a good thing. All right, well, good luck with everything, and call me back next fall when you fall in love.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm hoping sooner.
Okay. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We have a comment on the instant feedback. So Jill in Palos Verdes, California says, I disagree. The Emmys was not a platform for Charlie to apologize or address. The night was about everyone else. I think it's a good move for him to be on his best behavior, make a nice comment, and move on.
I have to agree with that. I thought that it was gracious. I mean, whether or not he meant it, he still got up there and he didn't make an ass of himself and he didn't apologize, but he did say, you know, he wished them all the best and, you know, that moment was not about him.
I hear that. So, I guess my issue is I haven't seen any of the other interviews that he does. I hope that he really owns the fact of what he was doing, because I want people to see that he wasn't just being an egomaniac, that is what happens when you're on some kind of a bender and you're going crazy and you're kind of drunk with power and drunk with money and drunk with substance abuse. I find a lot of times with celebrities, when they have the meltdown, like, you remember when Whitney Houston came back on Oprah and she was like, no, it wasn't crack, but then like basically had like a PowerPoint program on how to smoke crack Oprah.
She said,
do you remember that?
Yeah, she said she didn't smoke crack. Right. She would sprinkle cocaine on her marijuana joints.
Whitney, my love.
Yeah,
my
totally
love, my
different.
Love. Exactly.
Totally.
And so I feel like very rarely does, I can't think of a celebrity that really owns it, or I don't know if you watched the first episode of Anderson's show. First of all, God, he's attractive. And every time he goes to break, that look when he throws to camera, what did they call that from that movie?
Blue Steel
or
something. Magnum.
Oh my God.
That
he's all over that. We'll be right back. And he's like, done. But anyway, so they had Amy Winehouse's family on, and I obviously it's a painful topic, but I experienced them as being a little bit defensive about her addiction. And they were so adamant that she wasn't on drugs and she wasn't doing this. And I just think it would be powerful to say that, yes, her behavior led to this point, and now, unfortunately, she passed early and all that stuff, but it just felt like they ignored it. So, okay, we have I'm sorry, David, I didn't understand that. Pam, what?
Oh, I was going to say you should do an instant feedback question.
Sam?
Yeah, we have...
Okay, Sam in Miami. I recently went to my high school reunion and saw an old girlfriend. We ended up sleeping. We ended up sleeping together, and now I feel very guilty. It was a one-time thing. Do you think I need to tell my wife? Okay. Yes. Wow. I wasn't expecting that question. That's a big question. I don't know. I'm such a dork. I really believe in honesty, and you know, I do think you need to tell your wife. Admittedly, for that kind of a situation, depending on your relationship, I think a therapeutic environment would be the best form to do that. God, people get crazy at their high school reunions. I just think it brings up so much emotion.
Remember when
people?
We went to your high school reunion and that what was her name?
Stop
well,
it.
Anyways,
yes.
some people got.
Oh my God!
Did you
see that? It's not his high school.
Story,
he's
story,
like,
story,
do you remember
dude,
when?
Come on.
A girl imbibed and enjoyed a few beverages, and I get that. I mean, I was showing up with a husband, and I was like shaking. I was so nervous.
Whoa.
So I understand the idea of like. Little cocktail helping you relax, but
sure.
She.
Yeah, but
you
didn't like pass
Jägermeister
out.
Shots.
Yeah,
don't count.
You weren't passed out in the bathroom.
She had a moment, so I think it triggers people's fear.
Mm.
So Sam in Miami, if you had that moment of kind of reacting, I think bringing that to a therapeutic environment to talk about it is the best bet. I really believe in honesty, and in every relationship, the deeper and the more profound the communication can be, the better the relationship is going to be. And if you're feeling guilty now, she probably can detect that on some level, and people then tend to conjure up their own stories, and it becomes a real problem. So I would really want to, I would want you to be honest about that. That's my opinion. We are going to take one more call. We've got Kathy in Kent. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Kathy. You're on the air.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Sorry. I'm good. How are you?
Great. What's your question?
Well, you know what? I'd like to tell you, I think we share the same birthday.
May 13th?
Is that your birthday? Yes.
It is. How exciting. We should get each other presents.
Well, you know, and I'm going to be at the bookstore on Friday.
Kathy, are you trying to make me fall in love with you? Because it's working.
Oh, well, that's, yes.
So what's your question?
Well, I have a question about my marriage, my husband.
Yeah, there's a disconnect there right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the deal. You are loyal to a fault. I appreciate your loyalty. I appreciate that you are a person of your word. But sometimes I think you're so loyal to something even when it's not honoring you anymore. And I think you're being very polite. It seems like you've done a lot of personal growth work, which is terrific, and you've really worked on yourself. But sometimes you just have to, like, make a statement, say what you're feeling, say what you need, and get it out there. There's a great book. I can't remember the title. It's called Getting the Love That You Desire or Getting the Love That You Deserve. The author's name is, can you Google that, David?
Sure.
Last author's name is Hendricks. But I think a motto would be good for you guys. You need to communicate your feelings without the other person being defensive. And I feel like you guys just aren't hearing each other. It's almost like you're speaking another language. And I think right now, we really need to have an honest dialogue or else it's going to fizzle out. Wouldn't you agree?
I would, yes.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Sorry, the book is called Getting the Love You Want
by
Harville Hendricks.
Correct. So I would check that out. Have you guys gone to therapy yet?
No, we have not.
I think that would be a really good idea. I think you guys need a neutral party in the room saying, Kathy, it feels like you're holding back. It looks like you need to say something a little bit more. And someone who can kind of help, pull it out of you guys at the moment. Because it feels like you're in your corner and you guys need to meet in the middle and have the discussion. To be honest with you, you know, and as a psychic, I know everybody thinks, you know, your whole life is written in stone. This answer doesn't feel like it's been, it's completed yet. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work out. I feel like you guys need to sit down, have a really honest conversation, and then figure out what you both want. And if you're on the same page, continue. And if not, you might have to move on. Okay?
Okay.
Hey,
thank
Kathy,
you.
I look forward to meeting you on Friday.
And me too. I'll
okay.
See you Friday.
Guys, so exciting. So many calls this morning. I can't wait. If you want more information of where I'm going to be in Seattle, go to DougalFraser.com and click the appearances page. But Friday night at the East West Bookshop, I'd love to meet you. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with my friend Heather. And we're going to get a little bit gossipy and talk all TV. So I hope you join us. My name is Dougal Fraser. This is The Dougal Fraser Show. We'll be right back.
I wasn't expecting, but who am I to tell Faye where it's supposed to go with it? Don't you blink, you might miss it. See, we got a right to just love it or leave it. You find it and keep it, because it ain't every day.
Imagine a chocolate so decadent that you'd never believe it could be good for you. Align your inner bliss with Mother Nature's magic. The power of cold-pressed cocoa by Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Shosai is everything you ever dreamed healthy should taste like. We combine unprocessed cocoa with acai and blueberry for an unbeatable high-oxidant powerhouse. Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Visit us at LifesaverChocolate.com or call 888-287-2011.
Zeo88 Zeolite, the natural and effective way to detox radiation, heavy metals, toxins, and pollutants from your body. High levels from Japan have reached the U.S. Remove these contaminants easily and safely by using Zeo88 Zeolite pure powder form. Order now and receive a free month supply with every order. Call 888-402-6779. That's 888-402-6779. Or visit zeoking.com.
Hi, guys. It's me, Psychic Dougal Fraser, and joining me is Colette Baron-Reed. Colette, do you want to tell them the news?
You bet I do. Next April, I've asked Dougal and
psychic Dr. Carmen Hara to host a Caribbean cruise with me.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. You guys, on April 21st, 2012, we will set sail from Fort Lauderdale, Florida on a 7-night journey through the Western Caribbean. Where are we going, Colette?
We're going to all the best beaches, Princess Keys in the Bahamas, Curacao, Aruba, and when you're not enjoying the sun, there'll be readings, lectures and classes taught by all of us.
Guys, you really don't want to miss out on this opportunity. So if you want to get more information about our Caribbean cruise, Psychics on the Sea, go to ColetteBaronReed.com or DougalFraser.com. Click on our appearances or events page and you can find out how to join. Colette, I will see you on the Lido deck.
You betcha.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Hi, I'm astrologer Stephanie Jones, and this is your astro update for September. The sun is in Virgo, the sign of the harvest, and I love it when the sun's in Virgo. I can finally get something done. Call me at 323-369-8221 or visit my website at stephanie-jones.com for further updates and see where the sun in Virgo brings the gifts of the harvest to you in your birth chart. That's 323-369-8221.
Hey guys, Psychic Dougal Fraser, and unfortunately right now, I am not the only girl in the world because my friend Heather joins us for Trash TV Talk. Good morning, Heather.
Hello.
How are you?
I want to be very honest and tell you I disagree on everything you've said so far today.
Cancel her check.
Oh, you do not tell your wife about your indiscretion.
Why?
Pause.
Okay.
If you are a serial cheater or habitual, yes, you know, maybe we need to have a coming to Jesus.
Right.
You had an indiscretion.
So
you're already going to feel guilty about it anyways. You're going to rot in that guilt. Do not admonish yourself.
Really? You really think that?
What is it going to do? I mean, what are you going to do? Like, how is that going to cause more harm than good?
I think that is a stereotype. I have a lot of clients. I know a lot of people who have had that happen in their life. They have been honest, and it has strengthened the relationship. I have to disagree with you.
I would say either strengthen or end it.
Absolutely.
That's the thing.
I mean, I have to tell you, it's a risk, and I don't know if he has family or that sort of thing, but you really wouldn't want to know.
No, I don't think so. You know, if it's a one-time, you know, I'm not going to like you that much, but I would rather not know about it.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting. All right. So, Sam, if you're still listening, clearly I'm wrong, but I just want to be clear that I don't know Heather's expertise or background.
So, I'm no expert.
Let's go straight into Trash TV. So, first of all, you worked the Emmys, right?
Yes.
How fun was that?
You know, it's not as fun. Everyone is like, oh, the carpet. I work the red carpet and I wrangle talent and I did it for E! this year. And
so let's explain. Wrangle talent means?
Means I walk
so Hollywood.
I walk on the carpet and I go, hey, Kate Winslet, come talk to us.
Right.
Ryan Seacrest wants to talk to you. It's really not as glamorous as it looks.
Are they nice to you?
No. Nobody's nice to you.
Really?
You have a headset when you have 14 different people talking to you.
Oh, my God.
You've got 1,000-degree weather.
Yeah, it's really hot.
Yeah, it's not fun. Like, it looks glamorous, and you have this, like, high, like, because you're so buzzy.
Do you have to get dressed up?
You have to be dressed up. You've got to be black tie.
Oh, my God.
It's a nightmare to get down to the Staples Center.
Like, right.
I know.
Was that the first time they did it at the Staples Center?
No.
I thought that was really beautiful.
Well, they've done it there the last 3 years, and the thing that I find hilarious is it always falls on some parade that happens in Koreatown that
weekend.
Are you
serious?
So every street is closed, but they forget to tell you that. So not only am I, like, panicked, I'm in traffic.
Limo chaos, the
yes,
whole bit.
What
did you think of Jane Lynch?
I liked it. There's been an interesting mixed reviews as I've been sort of reading. I liked the show as a whole. Mm-hmm. I thought the opening was clever and cute. I thought she had a couple great lines.
Do you think she was forced to wear a dress? Question.
No, because she always wears a dress on the red carpet.
Does she? Because I remember when Ellen, I believe, as she did the Oscars or something, she felt she was forced to wear a dress for like the first intro came out and then came out in a suit. I didn't love the first dress. I felt like they got better.
They did
as
get
it,
better, but they were all kind of the same cut.
I was
cut.
Just about to say that. Yeah. Same cut, different color.
Yeah, yeah. But I thought she did a really good job, and I watched the whole thing straight through without fast-forwarding or anything. What did you think of Charlie Sheen moment?
I liked it. I thought he was poised. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't his night. It wasn't his night at all. And I think that, like, he made a reference, as he should have, but I think he was a grown-up and probably bit his tongue a little bit. Then he tweeted a picture backstage of him and Ashton.
Right.
So there was no sort of hard feelings. My favorite moment?
Yeah.
The Melissa McCarthy winning moment.
Oh, my yes. God. That was so cute. That if you guys fun. Remember, that's where... Who went up first? Amy Poehler went when her name... Now, do you think the director knew that that was going to happen? Because they were on it really quickly.
I
just snapped.
Somewhere. That was hilarious. Yeah. I read somewhere that it was Amy Poehler and Melissa had kind of gotten together and were like emailing back and forth. And yeah. So wouldn't that be kind of a funny moment? Nobody knew except for the director.
It was really, really well done. And then they stood there like it was some kind of like Miss America
like a
pageant.
Rose ceremony.
And then when she won, I'm such a dork, but I totally choked up because she genuinely, I mean, she got emotional. It was so sweet.
Think about it. She's flanked between Amy Poehler, yeah. Tina Fey, like in her wildest dreams.
I know.
Did she ever think that she was going to win? It was such a genuine moment.
So I don't watch that show, but now I feel like I will. So you watched the premiere episode of Two and a Half Men, right, with Ashton?
Yes.
And thoughts?
I liked it.
Really?
You know, I mean, I'm not a habitual watcher of the show.
Okay.
I obviously watched it because of the hype, whether I'll continue on, but it was cute. Like, they made respectful but funny moments, you know, like funny comments about Charlie. Like, it wasn't like Chuck Lorre could have had the entire time just trashing him, and I think they were both it was funny. Ashton was a little reserved because that's his kind of character. He's supposed to be this dumb billionaire guy that, like, is being dumped by his wife. So he's got this sort of...
Is that why they're going for the beard thing?
Yeah.
I feel like he's doing that Brad Pitt thing. Like, I'm trying really hard to look unattractive, but I'm still attractive. Like,
I thought he looked good with it.
You like the beard?
Yeah.
Note to self.
He was naked, I would say, 20 minutes of the 30 minutes of that
Stop.
Show.
Seriously?
Yeah. Well, you know, God. He's got a body. He's got to show it off.
I know. Exactly. I guess if I worked, I'd probably be naked now if I did more sit-ups.
It was like, Jesus.
So let's talk about Dancing with the Stars.
I thought it was great.
It's too long. My
God. Agreed. 2 hours
it's
is too
much
long.
Of a commitment. I want to watch it, and I enjoy it. Chyna Phillips, I did not think was going to do well. She was extraordinary.
Is it just me, or does she not look the same?
She does not look the same.
Okay.
I kind of forgot that she was married to a Baldwin.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was in the audience. And, of course, so when Chaz came out, I was on, like, full Cher patrol, looking, standing, 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 looking.
Wasn't she wasn't there. That made me sad.
But Courtney Cox was there when David performed.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Oh, yeah, and so was Coco, which was so sweet.
Cute.
She's so cute. But here's my thing. When David Arquette is on stage, my anxiety level goes through the roof because he still feels like he's working on finding his center. Like, it still feels a little frantic and scattered.
Yeah.
Well, he's only been sober for 8 months.
Which is a long time. I mean, I give someone a lot of, yeah, that's a very decent run. I think when he was on Oprah, it had been like 3 weeks. So 8 months is, I think, something to be proud of. But I'm not sure that much attention. And it's not like he needs the money. Like, I understand the desire to work and have a routine. But it just felt like so much attention being projected at you. I just hope that doesn't throw his center because he still seems kind of out of sorts to me.
Yeah.
And that worries
It's a
me.
Lot of pressure.
Yeah.
So who was the front runners?
So I think, Carson Kressley got a huge response purely based on his personality. Like, his dancing was kind of mediocre and totally silly.
But he was such a
but
good
he
entertainer.
Owned it, and he was a good entertainer. And it was really, really funny. Ricky Lake. Wow.
Yeah.
She did really
but
well.
She's like Broadway-ish, kind of. Didn't she do...
Does
like,
that count? I mean, I guess.
I think so.
I guess she would, yeah.
Hairspray. Right.
Right. But she did really, really well. That was impressive. Kristen Cavallari, I
thought she was okay. I thought she did well, but I wouldn't vote for her. I didn't care that much to vote for her. Like, this was the first.
I know, right? I'm over it. I'm like, I can't do it. And she just, okay. So, and then who else was on there that did well? Rob Kardashian, I thought did well, but really people really do we need, and you know what was so funny is when when they announce them, they talk about like what their background is. And so, you know, Ricky Lake, it's like famed talk show host Carson Kressley, you know, and then they come to Rob Kardashian and they're like manager of talent. That's what they said.
He was nervous. Like, come on,
manager of talent?
Is he?
Did he?
No.
I don't believe so. I think Rob gets paid very well to do very little, but the whole clan, I mean, front and center.
Yeah, they
Kim
were
was
all
there.
There.
And of course, Chloe had to have her moment and like scream something out.
Oh, right. Cause when they were critiquing him.
Yeah. So what's coming up this week? I feel like there's so many shows coming
there's
up.
There's a lot of new shows coming up. When is that Pan Am show on? I really want to see
Pan
that.
Pan Am show.
Okay. So I watched it.
You did?
I did. I get screeners.
Oh my God.
Time.
Special fancy. Pan.
It's confusing.
Is it?
I'm going to stick with it and see how like week two and three comes about, but like the first episode you have to pay a lot of attention because there's a lot of mystery and intrigue.
Yeah,
it's, and travel is,
I don't like to focus too much on my TV. Yeah. I'm definitely like a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which that episode,
oh my God,
was killer. Did you watch it?
This whole season has been fascinating so
God,
far.
Cancel her check.
I know.
Twice.
We do not mesh well on television.
No, but it's good though because you watch the other shows that I didn't watch.
Playboy
and that
Club.
Means Playboy Club, we're gonna watch it. Oh, David, we have so much to catch up on because we're about to go on this insane trip.
To Seattle, I'm so excited.
I'm excited, too.
I love
Is it
Seattle.
Cold there, Benny?
No.
Really?
No.
Because it's like
I'm here. Everything's warm.
I want it to be cold.
It'll
I
be,
want
really? Why?
Because it's so freaking hot here.
Yeah,
and
easy,
I want,
yeah.
like, I would even handle 72 degrees. 72 that, degrees?
That's about right.
Oh.
It's a gift, people.
You'll be okay. You'll be okay. You'll be
starting
okay.
to do the weather. I can't
I'll
help
I'll leave
it.
My parka just in case.
So, guys, if you want to get more information on where I'm going to be in Seattle, go to my website at dougalfraser.com. I'm doing a psychic development workshop. Let's hang out and spend the day together. Sunday the 25th, I'll teach you how to see energy and read an aura, and you'll get a reading from me. And if you can't do that, join me on Friday night. Again, cheaper than a movie, possibly more entertaining. I'll be at the East West Bookshop at 7:30, and I'll be signing books and giving a really fun talk and doing readings in the audience. So, yes.
And Saturday, you're going to do private readings.
Right. Saturday, I'm doing private readings as well. So you can call 1-877-936-8425. If you're not confused by all this information, I know I am. Anyway, go to my website. Guys, it's been a very exciting week. Thank you, Heather, for joining
Thank
us.
You.
I appreciate it. Benny, have a good trip to Tahoe.
I will, and you'll be missed.
I know. Guys, I will talk to you next week. I'm Dougal Fraser. This is The Dougal Fraser Show. Have a great day. Gone talk.